This is Courtney Brenner interviewing Kathy Piercy on October 8th in Edwardsville, Illinois at SIUE. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
So basically, I want to get started with a general who are you and where are you from and what's your background. So can you tell me where you were born?
I was actually born in St. Louis, Missouri. When I was a baby, my dad was in the Air Force, and so we immediately started traveling all over the place. And I ended up going to 8 different schools from the time I was a kindergartner till the time I got to college.
All right. Mm-hmm. Any ones that particularly stand out?
I actually got involved in, I got to do my first theater production when I was living in the state of New York. We lived in Mayopac, New York at the time. And I saw an audition for a show for Gypsy, and they needed kids. And it was at Chappaqua, New York, mm-hmm. which some people may realize what that is. Mm-hmm. That's where Hillary lives. Mm-hmm. But that was the first show I tried out for.
And you got in?
I got in. Actually, I got baby Louise.
Excellent.
Yes. And my sister actually wasn't even going to audition, but she came along with me. And because we were very similar in height, they gave her the role of baby June, which broke my heart a little bit. But then again, I came to find out that my character went on to the end of the show and was the star. So it
so
appeased
you're okay
me.
With that.
Yes. Both my parents also were in theater. In fact, they met on the stage.
Excellent.
So, yeah,
that sounds
so it
amazing.
Runs in my family.
Good. So once you settled down, what high school do you actually graduate from?
Oh, I actually finished high school. We ended up coming back to St. Louis, and I graduated from Bishop DeBerg High School. I was very involved in their theater department, the Guild Players. And in fact, I have done a few productions with the Guild Players alumni in the last couple of years. So all these years later, I'm still involved with them.
Good, mm-hmm. good. So when you were a child, did you always want to be an actor?
To a certain extent, yes, because my mom and dad had been involved. Both of them, my father has his degree in musical education from Washington University. And then my mother was just a singer and stuff, and then she ended up with 5 kids, and so she just sang around the house. But our library of music back then, the albums around our house were almost all musical theater. And one of the very first albums that I was so enamored with, I remember when in high school, was Jesus Christ Superstar. And I was fascinated by the fact that they'd actually made a play, a stage play out of that. But all the old Broadway shows my dad had albums of. And that's how I... and then the other thing about it is being an Air Force brat, I moved around so much. And it's sort of when you're constantly making new friends every time we moved, it's sink or swim. And I had to learn how to be outgoing. I'm basically not a true outgoing person, but I have had to learn how to be, because I was always changing locations and friends and things like that. So it's sort of fed that same drive, and the theater seemed a natural progression after that.
I could see that.
Gaining
that coping skill of this is icky because it's new. So
yes, and coping is a good word for it because it, like I said, it's sink or swim. I remember there was one location when I first got there. I was very small for my age as well, very short. I went to a school. We lived in Cape Girardeau, Missouri at the time, which was kind of odd, but. I remember they used to do, I went to Catholic school, and they did the May, what is it? It's the thing for Mary, whatever. I haven't gone to church in a while, but they would put us in line size order, and I was with the third graders when I was in seventh grade. So it makes it because of my size. So that was also another reason. It was like, okay, I have to find ways to make myself stand out and to seem taller than I really am, and personality seemed like the way to go.
You have to elevate your personality mm-hmm. in order to elevate you.
I did.
And your confidence. And
exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah.
All right. So, besides your parents being mm-hmm. within the theater, mm-hmm. Was there anybody in particular that kind of pushed you or had a really positive influence in your life that you can remember?
This is going to sound kind of crazy, but it was actually kind of the opposite. I had a high school teacher who was a the director who hardly ever cast me in shows. And he would say things to me like, "You've got a lot of spunk, but you really don't have a lot of talent," which fascinated me, first of all, that a teacher would say something like that. But it was sort of like that. And so it was like, all right, you've thrown down the gauntlet. I'm going to prove to you that I do have talent. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't truly until after high school when I got to college. I mean, I suddenly just blossomed, and it made such a difference. So it's like it's funny, most people say, oh, you know, who was the person that gave you the most inspiration? And it wasn't. It was actually a vengeance. I'm going to prove to you that I can do this.
You had a true grit.
I did.
You did.
I did.
That's excellent. All right. Let's see. So, moving on to one, where do you work now?
Well, right now, I work for KPMG, which is one of the big four public accounting firms. I have been at this coming May will be my 30th year with that firm.
You must like it then.
I do. Mm-hmm. I like the company as a whole. I've had different jobs throughout the years. Right now, this is the job I've been in the longest. It's about almost 10 years. I am a proposal writer for them. So I help production or engagement teams propose anything from audit, tax, or advisory consulting services, and I help them from the RFP process all mm-hmm. the way to when they get the piece of paper in their hands and send it out the door. So that's what I do.
Okay.
It's an interesting job, and it's extremely deadline-driven.
I bet so.
Very deadline-driven.
So how did you move from theater to account?
It's amazing. Actually, I did it because I needed a job at the time. I ended up starting there more than 30 years ago, because I actually left the firm once for about 18 months. Like, I had to get back. But when I first started there, I was an administrative staff. I was a secretary. Once I got into the firm, I started noticing things, and believe it or not, I have actually threaded my experience in theater at things and events. I've written corporate productions for them based on some TV programs. We did one that was based on Seinfeld. We did the first one I did for them was based on Cheers. I did another one that was Saturday Night Live, and we had everybody from Roseanne Dana all the way through, you know, Hans and Franz.
That was amazing.
It was really fun to do. And it was kind of fun to find out that the company paid me for the research. So they paid me, back then I thought it was an exorbitant amount, $25 an hour to sit there and watch Saturday Night Live videos.
I would take that today.
I know. So it was interesting to find out that I could do that. And what I would do is actually twist then the scripts that I would write to meet a theme that the firm was, you know, like maybe they were rolling out a quality service initiative or things like that. And that's how we got involved in those things. And you just sort of twisted, you know, I took scripts and just kind of plugged together the certain themes. Exactly. And then I would also then I would have, and the actors would be actual people that worked at the firm, which people thought was hilarious to have them play those parts. And then it was really a lot of fun, and I loved doing it because also because I'm just so type A personality that I wanted to be the director, the writer, the producer, and everything. So it's just sort of me in a nutshell.
That sounds like a good opportunity to do everything.
Absolutely, absolutely. And over the years, I have talked to, and I've discussed this with some of my other actors in different productions who have said to me, you know, how do you do this? Why don't you stay in theater? Yada, yada, yada. I'm like, to be truthful, you guys, you could also kind of be doing this, and corporate productions are worth a lot of money. You guys could, you know, it'd be a nice way to make a living if
it's
you really want to.
It's an untapped market.
It is an untapped market. And I've thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, if I ever really wanted to retire, I could kind of keep my hand in the game by going that direction, too.
But you'll never retire from the stage.
Not from the stage, ever. Oh, no, no, no. I meant retire from the accounting job. And it's too bad, too, because I am so far from an accountant, I can't even balance a checkbook. So it's funny, I work at that kind of company, but what I do for them is totally different. And the fact that my proposals, what is also advantage, I get to use my creativity throughout a proposal. Mm-hmm. It's just a twist on, you know, the theater stuff, but it's like thinking of a unique way of presenting us. And I also, in the midst of my job, I also coach the teams on their orals presentations, and so my stage experience comes in very, very handy.
So you're teaching?
I am teaching.
Acting.
I do, and acting, yes.
Yeah, you're teaching.
At an accounting firm. Yes, I know.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so beyond work, you're actively with community theater.
Yes.
And when you first kind of settled in this area, got your job, what was the theater scene like?
Pretty non-existent, I have to admit. The way I got involved with Curtains Up was kind of unique. I was actually in jeopardy of being let go from my job at the time, and I was struggling with what to do. And I had a severance package coming to me and everything, and my husband and I had a long talk, and I said, I'm totally burnt out from working so much. And he said, why don't you take the summer off, the 3 months, and then after 3 months, then you can go and start looking for a job again. And so I actually tried out for a show, Curtains Up show, theater company show, Bye Bye Birdie, with the thought in mind that I was losing my job. Mm-hmm. And so I got the show, and the next thing I know, I didn't lose my job. I ended up changing departments and was able to stay in the midst of doing the show. Mm-hmm. But it's funny what motivated me to get into it. But I remember at the time thinking, gosh, there's not a lot to choose from. I had not even heard about Alton Little Theater. Mm-hmm. I had not heard about Looking Glass. I don't know how long those productions had been in the area. But, I mean, I had never even heard about them. Now, I'd lived in Collinsville for, I'm trying to think how many years I'd lived there before. And it was like I had never heard of these productions. So one of the biggest things I think has changed is the amount of media coverage mm-hmm. that community theaters are getting now. It's so much different now. And I found that when I first joined Curtains Up, it was just basically a little group of people that kind of stayed to themselves. Mm-hmm. And then when I started hearing about Alton Little Theater and Looking Glass and some other groups, it was like they kind of stayed to themselves. Well, since then, it's expanded, and especially the actors like to move around, mm-hmm. especially. So it's changed quite a bit.
Okay, well, how did you find that audition for Bye Bye Birdie?
You know, I was trying to think about that. how did I find that? I saw it. Where did I see it? It may have been a flyer, like up at Schnucks. I'm trying to remember exactly how I heard about it. And I had not been on stage, except for helping write the corporate productions at work. I had not been on stage for 19 years. It had been that long. And I was, gosh, I had gotten married and we bought a house. And, you know, the usual stuff happens in your life. And the next thing you know, it's 19 years later. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and then the job thing happened. And it was like, you're losing your job. And so, yeah, I was looking for something to do. And
why not do something?
And I thought, oh, well, you know, it'll be great. I'll try out for a show. And if I get in the chorus, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. I got the lead. So
underestimated yourself.
I did. I underestimated myself. So it's funny how things turn out. Mm-hmm. It really is. Boy, for the life of me, though, I cannot remember how I found out about that audition. But I think it was something like seeing a flyer at Schnucks. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. It was something like that. So.
Well, it's very different now. You
no.
You get texts and...
Well, yeah, this is the... you don't... Well, they're worse than anything. I don't even think I had a cell phone.
Yeah.
I don't think cell phones were out at that time. That's how long ago this was. Or if it was, I had a cell phone, but it was like you barely used it because every moment was like cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Yeah. And they were big and clunky.
Yeah.
So it was a long time ago. And... Yeah, well, Facebook wasn't around. I'm trying to remember how long Facebook's been around. But it wasn't around back then, and you didn't have texting. Mm-hmm. You didn't have any of that, so, yeah.
Actors now just look on Facebook.
I know,
look online.
Right. Well, there's now, I mean, the Arts for Life is one of those newslettery type organizations, and they keep everybody connected together, mm-hmm. and somebody can post all of their auditions. And
I mean, even STL Auditions.
Yeah, STL Auditions has got a bunch of auditions mm-hmm. out there too now. I mean, it's amazing how things have evolved. You've got the paperwork right here.
Yeah.
I can go online and look up something, whereas back in the old days, you couldn't. You had to get it by word of mouth, mm-hmm. or hopefully you saw it in the newspaper.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. Yeah. So
it was chance
mm-hmm.
that you...
It was. It was by chance back then, but I was looking for something.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had thought about going to a library in the area to see if they wanted me to maybe... I thought about doing some kind of like teaching kids. That was one of my other things that I had thought about doing. I thought, you know, maybe I could take them and we could read a play and act out scenes or something just to kind of get them involved. That's where my head was going at the time. I was looking for something, and I happened upon Curtains Up Theater Company.
Oh, so working with children mm-hmm. and kind of making sure art stays alive
mm-hmm.
is really something very dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
So why did your thought immediately go to, we have to talk to children and get them involved in plays?
It's funny. Well, another side of my background was I also was a dancer. And I used to, besides the normal tap, jazz, ballet dancing that I used in musical theater when I was younger, I also then did some professional work. And then when that my few professional jobs kind of dried up, I went to ballroom dancing and became a ballroom dance instructor. And I enjoyed it very, very much. And it suddenly came to a realization to me that I would go to weddings and stuff like that, and nobody knew how to dance. And it made me crazy. And so I had thought that was another side of it, is that I love to teach kids and teenagers especially the importance of, this is really something you guys should hold on to, dancing. And I said, and I always tell boys, I'm like, and I hate to tell you, but if you can dance, girls will like you. but I just love doing it. Mm-hmm. And I love, then from there, it expands out into, I love coaching kids through scenes. And it just seems like a natural progression. I grew up in musical theater, so that's why music and theater kind of mm-hmm. go to hand in hand in my life, at least.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's a very, very important stepping stone for any child.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's so important. And I, one of my biggest things and everything I do that's associated with Curtains Up is like, I want to make sure that somebody, at least one kid, you can't touch all kids. Any mm-hmm. teacher knows that. But at least one kid walks away from it with the most amazing feeling, and the fact that they've learned something and they're going to take something with them down the road. I want them to know that. It's just too important of a development in their lives not to have that happen. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's so important to me.
You want them to get bit by the theater bug.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, it's not just being bit by the theater bug. I want them... it's not that I was a little bit bullied as a kid because I was so small, mm-hmm. but it's one of those things, is that to put that confidence in them, it's about helping them develop their personality, being that I'm basically a shy person, mm-hmm. and it's like getting that personality and giving them the confidence to open their mouth and do something on stage in front of people. Maybe it also is a little bit, I can do performances in front of, I could do 100,000 people, but if my close friends and my family are in the audience, I become a blithering mess. Yeah, and it's the people closest to you make me the most nervous. Mm-hmm. So I see kids, you know, I want them to develop that same confidence mm-hmm. to do things.
That nervousness is a good feeling.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it keeps you sharp. Yeah. Keeps you sharp. But it also makes me, there have been times where I just want to throw up right before I want to go on stage. And I've always told people, like, well, you know what? If I ever lose that edge, then it's time to quit.
Yeah.
Because then it won't mean anything to me. But it does. As long as I keep doing that, I'm good to go.
So what was your favorite show that you've done with Curtains Up?
With Curtains Up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Chicago was fabulous. That was a dream come true, and I know that was last year, and I worried when I got cast in that. I'm like, how can he cast somebody at my age at that role? But I thought I did. It was one of those where I walked away and went, I did a pretty darn good job. When you feel like I did it,
mm-hmm.
and I did some physical things that I didn't think I could ever do, and I was like, I did it.
Being Velma is very physical.
It's an extremely physical role. I have had some other roles that I have absolutely loved. I was the queen in Once Upon a Mattress. I love being the devil.
Which is so strange because your personality is so sweet.
Yeah, and I loved that part. I was rotten. It's like getting to be Jekyll and Hyde. Mm-hmm. It is so fun to do a role like that. I've been very, very, very lucky to do some marvelous roles. Miss Pennywise in Urinetown, another really cool part. Mm-hmm. And Nancy and Oliver, I got to die on stage. I love that.
Was that on your bucket list?
It is on my bucket. I've died on stage now three times. I got shot and ruthless. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's fun.
It's fun.
I love to die on stage. It's so much fun. So, yeah.
As long as it's playing and it's acting.
Yeah. Absolutely. But in Oliver I got beat to death, so I got to really flop Ooh. Around and use my acting skills. Yeah, that was good. So yeah, I've been extremely fortunate to have some really, really fun roles. Even the first show, Bye Bye Birdie, I was Rosie, and that's also a really, really big part. I adored that show. It's a really delightful show. And it's a great marrying, when you're talking about a production team, marrying a bunch of teens and adults in one production, it's a great show for that. In fact, we've been talking about bringing that one back because there's so many kids out there, especially girls, that want to do theater. And there's some shows just don't have enough parts in them. They just don't. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, and you hate to not cast some, and it's mm-hmm. just it's heartbreaking because you know they all want the part.
Well, I mean, going off of that, how do you first decide the shows you're going to do, and then how do you approach the audition process, the callback process?
Right now, I serve in the role as artistic director, and I have an artistic team of people. But the things that help us determine what shows we're going to do, we go through phases. It's kind of interesting because a few years ago, we had done some successful productions, and we had some money in the bank. And so we were like, hey, we want to step outside the genres every once in a while. I know that we're considered very much a family community theater group. But that was the year I think we decided to do To Kill a Mockingbird, which is, it's extremely edgy. It ended up being very successful for us, but it's one of those But there were so many of us that have like, we want to do something different for a change. We want to, you can't keep doing Cinderella and Annie over and over again.
You I mean, they're money makers.
They are money makers.
But you still have to get out of that.
Exactly. You have to, once in a while, you have to do things different. You don't want to be a one note, you know, group. So we tried to do some other things. So, we, you know, we did Urine Town. We didn't make as much money on that. I'll tell you what, though, the people that were in that cast, we had a blast doing that show. And it was different, and I was so happy to see us step out of the box and try something new and different for a change. Let's see. Now, the last couple years, we've had to kind of think about how we produce. The machine that runs a community theater group it's like running a business. It is difficult. Our treasurer is always worried about money because we're spending it as fast as we get it.
That happens.
It is. It's very difficult. So it's the last two years, we've tried to do shows that are more money makers to bring some more money back in, because we ebb and flow on our, and you're not being able to see my arms,
yeah,
but they're
that's
going
fine.
Up and down. Yeah, we sometimes we have money, we barely have any money in the bank, and then sometimes we have a bunch of money in the bank. Like, you know, we got done with Beauty and the Beast, we sold out every show. Cinderella sells out every show. Annie sells out every show.
Chicago sold out every show.
Just about every show was sold out. So it's those shows that bring in the cash is great. Now, you also have to understand, Curtains Up doesn't have, it's a house. It's like we have to go to different venues and we pay. And there are some venues that are more expensive than others. We love working at SIUE, but it isn't cheap for us. We have to figure out if we're going to be able to make enough money to sustain being in the theater or not. So we've worked at the Wildy before. We've worked at the Alfresco in Granite City before. We've learned through different productions. The first couple years the Wildy was open, they had exorbitant fees to be in there. But then we learned then later to, okay, let's try and work out a better deal. Because we're community theater, and they're much, much easier to work with now. Good. Because it's not so, because it gets to the point where it wouldn't even be worth to put, we would fill out every audience, sold out, and we still wouldn't have enough money to break even, even if we did that. So
yeah.
That's how expensive it is sometimes. We'd love to go to other venues and things. We find other ways to raise money throughout the year. We've done what we call the library shows. A lot of times we do FOTAD, FOTAD's productions in the spring, which we love doing. I love doing that part because it's for kids performing for kids. I love that aspect of that because we want to inspire kids.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the FOTAD show?
Sure. This morning when you asked me to do this, I was trying to remember how far back we started, but the Friends of Theater and Dance have four productions that they do every year that they sponsor. And they ask groups to come in to perform for kids. I would say that the average age is 6 to 7 years of age of the audience. In years past, we've done, one year I think we did two. So they do one, and it's like the seasons, you know, the spring, the fall, the spring, the summer, the winter, and then the fall is the four productions. Our slot is usually the spring slot up in March. It seems to work out for our schedule because we're a group that the board members are the ones that usually end up being the set builders and doing all the work. Community theater is everybody has to do the work. If we have our spring show, usually May around Mother's Day, we have another show usually around Labor Day, and then sometimes we do a Christmas production, a holiday production. Those wipe us out. The physical laborers need a break. So trying to fit in another FOTAD show is very hard. So we usually do the March show. It's a production that's usually an hour or a little bit less in length, mm-hmm. so that we keep the attention of those little 6 and 7 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually for, and obviously we've picked productions that are focused for kids. We have a tendency to sometimes do fairy tales with a twist,
mm-hmm.
which are a lot of fun, like Cinderella and the Story of Bigfoot.
Yes.
It was a cutie. Mm-hmm. But they all seem to have some sort of a theme. And most of the time it's themes that run along like you're not really different than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And or we also it's themes like it's okay to speak your mind. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be a part of something,
mm-hmm.
and to be creative. It's okay. So they all these shows have some sort of a theme. So they're really fun to do, and we get a stipend from the Friends of Theater and Dance,
mm-hmm.
That help us to maintain our we have to find ways to raise money,
mm-hmm.
to keep going. So that's one of our fundraisers as well, is mm-hmm.
to do that
mm-hmm. show. And then a lot of times what we'll do is we take that show, and then maybe it'd be a month, 2 weeks or a month later, we'll do it at another location.
Mm-hmm.
We've done it the last 2 years at the Wildy up mm-hmm. in SI, up in Edwardsville.
Mm-hmm.
And we've worked out a deal with him, since it's a little 1 hour mm-hmm. matinee for kids. We'll just do a split the house kind of mm-hmm. arrangement, which is really helpful for us. We usually get pretty good audiences, even these little shows, you know, like Cinderella and the Story of Bigfoot, you know, they sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just those kinds of things where if we split the house, then we actually can make a little money that mm-hmm. way too. So we try and do that. We haven't done it. We're also getting ready to put together a audition workshop mm-hmm. for kids. We did that 2 years ago. We haven't done it since. And that is to just have a sort of like from 10 till 3 a day. And we give the kids, usually we have one or two directors that come in and actually have them do little mock auditions.
Excellent.
So that they understand what it feels like. Because some kids have no idea what to do when they get to an audition.
Mm-hmm.
I did a dance session with mm-hmm. the kids. I just taught them like little, this is, if you were going to an audition for Annie, you're going to have to learn a dance. And they mm-hmm. all look at you with like deers in headlights and they're like, what? Yes. Now I'm going to show you what it's going to be like to mm-hmm. be at an audition like that. And they give you just this amount of time,
mm-hmm.
learn it. Okay, go away. Let me see if you learned it, mm-hmm. and then come back and do it for me like you're auditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, some of them freak out, and some of them have it, and some of them stumble around, and I'm like, this is what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to feel what it's like.
It's a necessary part of the
process.
It
is a necessary part of the process. Mm-hmm. Being prepared is a big part of the process. So we also give them, so they have the little brief monologues, they do the audition. I know there was a third aspect, I can't remember. Oh, the music. Mm-hmm. They did music auditions, yeah. So we had a musical director in there, and she would give them a part of a song, and mm-hmm. then they had to come up and each sing it. And some of the kids were freaking out. But it's a part of auditioning.
It is.
If you want to be a part of it. So, and it's also just to give them a little bit of confidence, because when some kids walk into a situation like and they see what's going on and there's 50 kids and they're like, oh, wow, it can be extremely overwhelming. Mm. So at least if they know in advance what to expect, they don't have that much anxiety, which is why the whole process is there for them.
We do that in college. We have an audition workshop.
Yes.
So that even college kids don't
even
get
college
the,
kids
get the big bright mm-hmm. eyes and
it
and
is
up.
It's daunting. Mm-hmm. It's extremely daunting. I know. I've done it for years and I still can't stand doing it, because you walk in, not 90% of the time you walk into a room and there's two or three people sitting at a table. It's just you and them,
mm-hmm.
and they can see every flaw. They can see everything. At least in a big show, you've got other people behind you or with you. You're sharing the disaster, as opposed to being all alone. You're the only one mm-hmm. there. So,
well, I mean, it sounds to me that Curtains Up is doing community theater, but they're also doing community outreach,
mm-hmm.
and
oh yeah,
really are focused on getting kids, not groomed, but accustomed to being on stage or even being a public speaking, that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yes.
A confidence booster.
Absolutely.
Is that part of your
It's
main goal,
kind of like our mission statement. Mm-hmm. It is. It's a part of that. Yes. And I have to be truthful, like you said before, it's not just strictly little kids. It's mm-hmm. teens and college people. In fact, we just recently had a woman try out for one of our shows who she had never been on stage before. And she's like, I just wanted to try it. And it's just like somebody who's in her mid-50s. You know, it's really great. And to have them come and be a part of something new to the area, mm-hmm. you know, like she said, I'm new here, I don't know anybody, I'm trying to find a way to meet friends and stuff. And I'm like, well, join. You may not like any of us, but hey, come on in.
You have the opportunity to meet friends.
You have the opportunity to meet friends. I love seeing also, I remember years ago when we tried Beauty and the Beast, well, I was co-director on that, and that show had over 70 people in the cast. It was massive, and there were tons of kids, lots and lots of parts, and we to the point where we had to split them up into groups, and it was sort of like the way we split them up was like group A was the shorter kids that were below this certain height, and group B were the kids that were this height, and yada, yada. I had a young man who went to school with the taller kids, but he was so short, he ended up in the shorter group. Well, he wanted to quit. He was so upset that he was with this smaller group, and he kept thinking that he wasn't going to be able to be with his friends. And what eventually evolved, I was like, you have to understand you're all going to be there together at rehearsals. Just because you're in group A doesn't mean you can't see your friends and be a part of the whole show. And I talked him into staying, and I'm going to tell you right now that this kid now is one of the most outgoing, and he also had such anxiety back then, too. He had, horrible anxiety of being on stage. And he has evolved into a charming, handsome, talented, and he's in college right now, and now he's done some professional work, and he's done some commercials, and I mean, he's moved on. And I remember that day, especially when he said, he was just crying. And I begged him, I said, please just come to one more rehearsal. Just come to one more.
Give us another chance.
Just one more chance. And it's like making that difference on one kid to see the difference in him years later. I mean, it's just, it's just, and his mom still is like, the difference was amazing. And I hope I do that for every kid that I see and touch in these productions. I hope every single one of them.
Is that why you keep doing it?
I think so. I think so. That's a big part of it. It's also just saying, we did that.
Yeah.
We created that. Okay,
that's
house,
your baby.
Yeah, it's not only just the set, but it's the whole thing. And it's the applause at the end is always that, you know, we did it. We got it, you know, and they loved it. Because I want to make sure the audience also has a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
It goes through all parts of it, you know, from the day we decide what show we're going to pick to the final performance, and we have to break down the set, and it's sad.
Here we call it killing our baby.
Yes.
That's a little harsh, but that's...
No, but I agree. It is. It's like your heart and soul went into something.
You build something for 3 weeks and then it's gone.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we just, like Chicago, we rehearsed 9 weeks, something like 9 weeks. And when you give that much time and energy in something, and I mean, it was like, even though I was rehearsing 3 to 4 times a week, the other days I was also rehearsing at home. So I was consumed by it for 9 weeks, and then it's over in 4 performances. That just seems sometimes...
And that Sunday, you're just...
It does. It depresses me. It depresses me sometimes. But, yeah, and the day after, I sit there and go, what am I going to... I don't even like watching TV. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do?
Get another show.
Get in another show. You start get started on another show. So...
All right. So can we move to the actual board members and...
Sure.
So... Can you kind of briefly describe, you said you were the artistic director.
I'm artistic director right now.
Can you briefly describe, like, what other roles there are?
Sure.
And you don't have to give names, but just, like, how those people handle those. And
sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we have a president, and we have, had someone who's, when I came into Curtains Up Theater Company, the president, he had been in there for a long time until just 2 years ago. He decided to kind of like, you know what, guys, I've been doing this for like 15 years. Mm-hmm. I need a break. Mm-hmm. So he just kind of stepped back. He is still a member of our board. And then another woman stepped into the role as president, and she's doing a fabulous job. The role of president obviously is that person just sort of oversees the operations. They're like the CEO of the company, mm-hmm. if you want to call it. They do not have a voting they don't have a vote, mm-hmm. But they kind of run the meetings. We have official board meetings, mm-hmm. And then they try and just keep everybody on track as to what's going on, what they need to do. We also have a vice president who sort of just fills in when the president is not around or just to offer opinions and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then we have a secretary. That person basically just keeps track of all the board meeting minutes and tasks that people are all on. Then there's the artistic director. That's my role. And I have I help to pick out what shows we're going to do. I kind of help out with the contracts, mm-hmm. To different, not only licensing contracts for the actual productions, but because we move around so much, mm-hmm. we're dealing with contracts for all the venues, mm-hmm. as well. And then, let's see, who else is up? And then I have a team of people who are on the artistic committee, mm-hmm. And they help out with, you know, just their opinions and certain productions. And you know, we put in together a list every year of what things we might consider to do, what shows we might do. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, let's see. I know there's several other committees, and I'm trying to remember all of them now. There's a... what's the group that she takes care of? I'm trying to remember the name of the other department. I should have brought a set of the minutes. I'm trying to remember all the different departments. Let's see if she's got it on this one. Give me a quick second. I don't know if you want to pause me for a second or not. I was just trying. No, that's pausing. That one. I'm sorry. But I know I had I'm looking for one of my outlines for one of my board meetings because it has all the different committees listed on it. Because there's like a Ways and Means Committee, which, oh, here we go. Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So the, oh, and there's a treasurer too. I forgot about him. Yeah. The treasurer, God love him. He takes care of not only keeping track of all the money and tickets. He and his wife usually are the ones that always deal with tickets. God love him. I wouldn't want that job. And keeps track of what we've got in the bank and any kind of, money's coming in or going out, as well as taxes. He takes care of all the taxes. See, I never want that job. We have a nominating committee, which they basically are to just make sure that every year you have to up whether you're going to stay on the board or not, or you're going to stay in the role you're in or not. And so there's one person who she usually... kind of just keeps track. It's usually towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We're normal fiscal year, mm-hmm. December year end. So we have that committee. We have a marketing person, and I don't know if that's part of a specific committee or not. Advertising, public, mm-hmm. Publicity. Mm-hmm. She's fabulous. She's got a ton of experience in that area, and she's really good at getting grants.
That's important.
Yes. And she knows how to reach all the right media sources. So she writes up all the press releases and things and mm-hmm. gets us interviews and stuff like that. So she does a great job on that. And then we also have a couple people that work on our website and our Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. That's also really important because that's the way it is in this day and age. That's how people notice who we are. Trying to remember what else we've got. I thought there was like a hospitality or something, but I don't have that on here. But I know that we have there's always a group of people helping out. If we do special events, every once in a while, we might do, I'm trying to think. Well, I know the hospitality team helped us when we had the workshop, the audition workshop, mm-hmm. for the kids. They kind of like took care of all the food that day. Mm-hmm. So it was good to have those people to take care of those little things, mm-hmm. Because there were other people that were taking care of logistics and mm-hmm. things like that. So, But there are roles. Every person in the board seems to have slid into a specific role. Mm-hmm. There's one gal who she is always the prop mistress mm-hmm. on every show.
Yes, she is.
She just sort of has slid into that spot, and she doesn't mind doing it. I also always ask her, I'm like, do you want somebody else to do that for you once in a while? And she goes, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, her daughter was little when they first started, and mm-hmm. her daughter is now long since married mm-hmm. with a kid, and you know, she's long gone. Her daughter doesn't even participate with the shows, but it's great that she, this gal, she loves to do the props, and she found her place. She does. She mm-hmm. she found her place. It seems like everybody on the group has found their place. So,
how big is your board? How many people?
I know you're going to ask me that. I'm trying to 12. I think there's 12 people.
That's the official employee number that I found.
Is that what it is, 12? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. It's treasurer, Chris, secretary, autistic, nominations. Let me count these guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, 12. Yeah, that's right. And all of our board meetings, the reason why I was counting was because my notes here have extra people on them. But our board meetings are always open. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times spouses will come to meetings.
Now, why did you do that?
I don't know. I think, to be truthful, I never really voted on that. It's just, it's always been that way. Mm-hmm. Now, there has been occasion where we have had something sensitive to discuss, and we will do a closed session. Mm-hmm. And it may be part of a board meeting, and we'll just say, okay, those that are not board members, mm-hmm. can you please leave the room while we discuss this particular topic? Mm-hmm. And it's been...
And it works out.
It works out that way. So, but most of the time, we usually, our board meetings are wide open. We don't really have anything to hide. And a lot of times, if we're in the midst of a production, or we have a director who is getting who would like to do a production and would like to come and pitch their proposal, we will have them sit in. Mm-hmm. So we like to having if we're in the midst of a production, we like to have the director come and hang out and just tell us what's going on.
We like an update production meeting.
Keep us up to date on things. Now, as artistic director, I've tried to make our production... I'm a project manager, mm-hmm. so
you definitely are.
I've tried to put a lot of information into, you know, particular documentation, and to let the director know that they should have their whole production team pulled together, mm-hmm. instead of like, hey, I think I'd like to do a show, and then they get into it and go, oh wow, you know what, I need a musical director, oh I need a choreographer, mm-hmm. oh I need
that just like, makes it more complicated.
It's so much more complicated. So we're trying to make sure that those things are taken care of in advance.
So that influences your choice of show?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It does. Like I said, the biggest influencer is money. Mm-hmm. The second is we get a little bit, and I don't want to say child fatigue, but sometimes it's not particularly that. It's just that we don't want to do the same shows all the time. Mm-hmm. We want to get out and get a little more creative, because it helps us. As a board member, you don't want to get burnt out.
Absolutely.
And so that's why we sometimes want to go outside the box and do mm-hmm. something different. So that's why we do shows like To Kill a Mockingbird, or let's see, we're getting ready to do The Odd Couple. Mm. So it's just something that's not the same usual musical theater. So
along those lines, are there any shows or topics or things that you absolutely would not consider doing a show on?
There are... We tout ourselves as a family-oriented musical theater. Mm-hmm. There have been some productions that in the past we have not put on. Putnam County Spelling Bee mm-hmm. is one of them. Which reason was that? And it was because of especially the one song in the show. Mm-hmm. That... Darn it, the name escapes me, the name of the song.
My Unfortunate Erection.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. the one. Although I have heard that they now have
a junior version.
I guess there's a difference in junior versions. Yeah. I also had heard a group that you could do it without that song. You could actually cut the song from the show and do it with adults.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather do it with adults. It's the kind of a show that it's funnier with adults.
It is.
It's better with adults.
Mm-hmm.
But that particular, we try not to do something that is so controversial sexually, or
is that for fear of not being able to sell it, or
yes, partially
for not wanting to.
We also don't want to get. How is it? We want to stay politically correct,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to alienate families. Mm-hmm. Is a very big part of it,
mm-hmm.
and if families think that we're exposing their kids mm-hmm. to. In you know, sexually indecent. Explicit, indecent mm-hmm. material, then they're going to say, you're never going back to that group.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we even have a clause in our audition form that says, if you have got any kind of, if you've been convicted of any crimes or
mm-hmm.
Any deviant behavior,
yeah,
sorry, we're not going to let you be with us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can't allow you to be a part of our production mm-hmm. because we want to make sure our kids are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also want to make sure that families feel like we're letting these kids, have good material, and they're not teaching them bad things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how else to say.
It's about the experience of the child too.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we don't want to traumatize them.
Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Because then we'll be back.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important that we pick wholesome stuff. And so, I mean, we've had a few things. I mean, they just got done doing Damn Yankees.
Yeah.
Which I know people were like, oh my gosh, do we have to change the name? I'm like, no, we don't have to change the name. Mm-hmm. You have to just be careful. Well, when we did the auditions for, I think, Damn Yankees, he also was 18 and above. The director mm-hmm. has that prerogative.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to have, he or she wants to have a restriction on age range. We feel that that if you're 18 or older, you are old enough to know whether, if you don't know the show well enough, at least look it up and make sure you understand that there is slightly sexually explicit material mm-hmm. in this production. So we do that. We make sure that
they know what they're getting into.
Know exactly what they're getting into. Same thing with Chicago had some pretty racy stuff going on in it. But we had a big disclaimer in the program. We had a big disclaimer with the people who auditioned for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I will tell you that I give a lot of credit to the actors who try out for these things. Most of them do their homework. Most of them know what's going on. Every now and then you find somebody who says, oh, I've never seen this show.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while you find somebody. But most of them know. And but the other side of it, too, is we have to make sure that we're just picking material that people are going to want to come see.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know if Curtains Up would ever do a show like Spring Awakening.
Mm-hmm.
That's a toughie,
because
there's a ton of sexually explicit material in something like that.
Suicide.
Many things. I'm sorry. Yeah, sexually. Yeah, suicide, mm-hmm. and it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not quite what they are.
Mm-hmm.
The beauty of that situation, though, is, and somebody would say, "Oh, that really restricts your actors," and I'm like, the actors go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. It's a community theater.
It's community mm-hmm. theater where they go up to Alton, or they go to the Looking Glass, mm-hmm. or they go to Granite,
here.
Or here, or they come mm-hmm. to SIU. Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm always telling people about SIU productions.
Because we tend to do some that are...
Well, a little bit more edgy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's nice. It's nice to be able to do that. As an actor, I like to be able to learn and expand my repertoire as mm-hmm. well. So that's what makes it so nice to have that. And it's so nice to be able to have that many options in this mm-hmm. area. So,
and that's changed over the course of you being here, from reading about a first audition on a flyer to auditioning four, five, six different places.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And the caliber is different at every location. I mean, mm-hmm. there's some people who have the hardest time. Like we said earlier, Curtains Up does not have a home theater. And we do not get to move into our theater usually until the week before.
Sometimes the day.
Well, sometimes it depends. Yeah, sometimes the day before. Mm-hmm. FOTAB, we move in the day of. Mm-hmm. You have your tech rehearsal that morning. Everybody eats lunch, and then we do the performance, mm-hmm. and then we do usually a matinee, and then we do a evening performance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you don't have that luxury, and in some ways, some people have a really hard time transitioning like that, but other people are like, hey, you know what?
Let's do it.
The life of a gypsy. That's what it is. They have learned to just think on their feet. So it's interesting. I know I had another point I was going to make there. Now I can't remember what it was. But it's about moving and being able to transition from different locations to different locations and being able to build a set in one day. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky to have a guy who does most of our sets, who kind of builds them in his garage, and then he disassembles them and sticks them in a storage locker.
That's amazing.
And then we go to the storage locker a couple weeks before the show opens, and everybody helps paint. Mm-hmm. And then the day of we move-in day, mm-hmm. we drag it all over here or to wherever we're going, and we put it all together.
And it's very satisfying to see that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And we drag our husbands and our wives and our kids. We're always asking it if anybody has any strong-backed teenage sons. Mm-hmm. Bring them, because we need them to carry stairs.
All the help you can get.
Yes. Yeah. So,
all right. Well, I just have one more question.
Oh, okay.
Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about today regarding theater, curtains up, community, kids?
No. This has actually been really kind of fun. Very interesting. I kind of wish the group in Collinsville was back. I know that they had to disband because their theater kind of went under. So I'm wishing that there were...
Financially?
I don't know exactly. Well, the theater, Miners Theater, closed because mm-hmm. it became in such disrepair. Mm-hmm. And they're in the midst of trying to get that renovated, but it's going to take quite a few years. There's mm-hmm. not a lot of money. So as many groups that have come out have... I wish there were even a couple more so that you could do more things throughout the year. There was another point I was going to make. I hate that when I do that.
You wish that Collinsville...
Yeah, I know Collinsville. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't that, but there was something else I was going to talk about. Darn it. Well, I had another thought in my head. I can't remember what it was about... Productions, different groups. I can't remember what it is. Darn it.
That's okay.
You know me, I'll think of it as soon as I get outside. Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to tell her about this. I was going to tell her about that. Oh, well.
All the questions I have today. Mm-hmm. Thank you for illuminating me about Curtains Up. And
sure.
I was familiar with you guys, and I've worked mm-hmm. with you for a while, but... I was not aware of all the community things that you do.
Oh, sure.
All the outreach.
Yeah. We actually even sing for some of the assisted living centers, usually at Christmas time. We'll take the kids out and we'll sing. And they're getting ready to do the Edwardsville Parade, Halloween Parade.
Yeah.
And, you know, they do all this stuff. It's fun. It's fun. The FOTAD shows, when we take them out to the libraries, those are fun too, because they did one summer where they did 12 different libraries over a summer.
Wow.
And they took the productions out, which is kind of...
Just into, like, the basement of the library?
Well, it depends. Every library... There's one of the ladies that's in our group actually has a connection. She's with the, I think, Madison County Library District or something. I forget exactly which library district she's a part of. But the libraries actually have, like, an audition process. And I forget what they call the day, but I remember we went out... And did the audition, and these library groups, then they have like stipend of money, mm-hmm. and they will hire different groups to do different things. That day of auditions, we saw magicians, we saw groups that came in and just did reading material, mm-hmm. they did an art class, they did crafts, they did different things while we were one of the theater groups.
All of these are outreach programs?
It's like outreach programs, right. And so we came in, and what happened is that we did our little skit for them, and then we had, like I said, I think there were 10 or 12 different libraries said, we want to hire you for this date, this date, this date, this date. They gave, and it was like, we got $100, mm-hmm. $200 per performance, something like that.
As long as it covers gas.
It kind of did. Yeah. We had a little bit of money that went in the bank, but most of it was like to teach kind of kids, you know, mm-hmm. like if you ever get in a summer stock mm-hmm. or if you get in a running
summer
production
stock is
or
a whole different thing.
It is. And you've got to be like invested and mm-hmm. you've got to put a lot of time into it. It's a little bit different than just going to rehearsals. I mean, you're actually performing. Mm-hmm. You've rehearsed. Now you're taking your show on the road. Mm-hmm. And you also have to be, you know, we have a little simple set. You have to drag everything with you. Mm-hmm. You have to have all the props. You know, everything has to be set up every time. You got to get the group there. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different kind of animal. And it can be a lot of fatigue on a family.
Yeah. Especially when they're all in it.
Moms and dads mm-hmm. have to drag them around. And so a lot of times they're during the day. Yeah. So they have to take off work. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of a pain. But anyway, that's another part of one of the things that we do.
That reminds me of a question that mm-hmm. I didn't have written down, but the technical side of theater mm-hmm. is something that's dear to me.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It's what I have my degree in, but mm-hmm. do you guys ever have a kid say, I don't want to be an actor, I want to do this?
Absolutely.
Okay, so, and how do you handle that? Do you...
Well, we try it. I have to admit that, and I wish we did a little bit more nurturing of the technical side. It's one of the things that I think that we need to do more of, because when we hire in at SIU, mm-hmm. we come with a technical team. You mm-hmm. guys have one in-house and mm-hmm. we hire you. But when we go to like the Alfresco in Granite City, mm-hmm. we have to bring all our own people. We have to make sure we have somebody that knows how to run soundboard, mm-hmm. knows how to run the light board, knows how to do, you know. Now, granted, we have a guy who kind of builds sets for us, and mm-hmm. that's about the most technical person we have. We had for a while there a guy who was our sound guy, mm-hmm. and then he had to leave. He moved out of the area. So, I mean, we have a guy who has all the sound equipment, the microphones and everything, but I don't know if he could ever sit down and actually run a board. I don't think he could, just like mm-hmm. I don't think I could. Mm-hmm. And we rely on those people, and a lot of times that's what's... that's really something that we've talked about it at our board meetings, but we don't even know how to go about teaching somebody something of that because we don't physically have the equipment. Mm-hmm. We usually go into a place. So that is actually a hurdle that we have not been able to overcome yet. And I would like to. Mm-hmm. I would actually like to overcome. Oh, I know something else we were going to talk about is that you got people in all these roles and they all seem to do the same things as board members. And I've been talking to my group about this, is that we are going to have to eventually figure out how to do each other's jobs mm-hmm. because we had somebody pass away mm-hmm. and she was a massive force on this board.
Speaking of Karen?
I am speaking of our friend Karen Perry. And, when she passed away suddenly, there was this huge hole. She was a musical director. She was the treasurer of the board. She was one of the founding members of the board, and she was in getting ready to direct a show. So it wasn't just that and on top of it, we lost a friend. But it was devastating. People, we couldn't, like, we were paralyzed for a week or so, and then everybody had to sit down and go, okay, we have to figure out what to do about this, because we had a production that lost their director and their musical director. We had a board that lost its treasurer. We had, so all these things that we are so entwined together, and we rely on each other so much, and when one piece falls away, we all were, wow, what are we going to do? And it took a while to recover from that. And that's another part of this, is that not only learning, getting a technical person in there, or find a way to teach some of the up-and-coming kids how to do the technical side of theater. It's also just having people to cover for our board mm-hmm. and the different roles that we play. Like, what if one day the one guy who's always building our sets suddenly, they can't have to move away? Mm-hmm. They have to move. Mm-hmm. Our marketing gal, who's so good, her husband now works out of Washington, D.C., and she's been saying, we may have to move. Mm-hmm. And we're all going, uh-oh, what are we going to do? So mm-hmm. it's funny how as a theater group, as a family, everybody has their role, but we have to start learning how to cover for each other, because there's going to be days when somebody's not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to take up the slack? And it's daunting to think about that. Mm-hmm. It's a big machine to move a big production in.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's a big machine. I'll never forget when Beauty and the Beast, I think, was our monster beast show. And that show, just moving around 75 people, and then just the staff behind all of it was massive.
Mm-hmm.
Costumes and, you know, all that stuff. It is a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure the tickets get sold. And maybe making sure the tickets get ordered.
Yeah.
All those little things that most people take for granted when they're mm-hmm. part of a, you know, like a set theater group. Mm-hmm. It's like just...
You did that, right?
Who takes care of all those little administrative tasks? You know?
And I can understand when a cog in that machine is missing.
Yes.
Or broken in mm-hmm. some way.
Yeah.
It's real valuable to be able to kind of step in and mm-hmm. give it a little grease
yep.
and figure out how to handle that. So since you brought up Karen, how has we talked a little bit how it has affected the board and mm-hmm. but as far as the like the actor the children
mm-hmm.
I remember when she passed mm-hmm. and I remember the very next production you had a beautiful picture of her in a seat and you saved it.
Yeah.
So how has that affected, I mean, you work with little children.
Yeah.
So tell me a little about that if you would.
It was very difficult. But it is also a part of life.
Mm.
And so we tried to, most of the kids in that production did know who Karen was. They really did know her. And so the difficulties of talking about death are just, they are what they are. And we'd hoped, we had a long conversation with parents when we first cast the show. And we talked about what the show was going to be about, and it was going to be a tribute to her.
Show was it? I'm sorry.
It was Big Bad Musical.
Yes, it was.
It was our FOTAD show. Mm-hmm. And she was so excited to do that one, too. Mm-hmm. When we found that, she was like, I can't wait to do this show.
It was a very cute show.
It was really, really cute. Just talking to parents about that production and letting them kind of know what was happening. And we did let them know from the very beginning. And we are a spiritual group, but we're not the kind of group where we pray.
Mm-hmm.
But we do try, because I don't want to cross those boundaries. I know it's really kind of hard to separate church and state
yeah.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, it's there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying, you know what, guys, we're doing this show for Karen.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be...
It's a respect.
It's out of mm-hmm. complete respect. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, like she's looking down at us and she's, mm-hmm. you know, I hope she likes what I did in the way of choreography for
yeah.
you guys. And what do you guys think, you know, and... You try and make it as interactive as possible, and the kids thought it was really nice to have her
mm-hmm.
her face in the front row. Actually, her family ended up moving it up because the front row seats don't have that great a sound.
Yeah, they don't.
But they said that they thought it was really, really nice. And in fact, we actually did that for every show that year. I did Big Bad Musical.
I remember seeing it a couple of times.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember the other two productions that year. Now I can't remember. We do so many shows, mm-hmm. now I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, it's just we dedicated an entire year to her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and her family was so appreciative of it. They've come to every production. And then we also dedicated a tree to her when we did Festival of Trees.
Hmm.
So we dedicated a tree to her, and it ended up, or her husband ended up, he was just like in such a good mood about it that he bought the tree. Festival of Trees.
Yeah.
But It's just, it's been nice. We didn't want that family to feel like they were just like, oh, well, she's gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. We wanted them to know that we still think about her all the time. Mm-hmm. We still think about the impact that she and her daughters mm-hmm. had. Well, even her son, I forget, her son also was in a couple productions when he was young, Matthew. That they were all in the shows. They were choreographers. Mm-hmm. They played I know her one daughter played the piano. And Karen was a really good musical director too. Played the piano, so
I remember seeing her in a couple shows and her directing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was good. Super Type A personality.
Yeah,
we both. Yeah, we've had our differences of opinions over the years, but I do miss her. I mm-hmm. miss her a lot. So, but it's one of those things where you think about it, and she made us all better for what we are mm-hmm. today. I mean, just knowing her and her ethic. She was she worked harder than most people that I know. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a woman who had her hand into more projects and things than that lady. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. And she would come down now, her last couple years, I cannot remember the name of the school district she was working in. But she would drive down, it was close to Chicago, I thought, wow. But I mean, she would drive down and come to meetings and come to, you know, be a part of productions. And I was really shocked that she spent that much time driving on the road. Mm. But that's her dedication. She mm-hmm. loved this group. She loved the group.
It sounds like you guys did a really good job filling in for her. And
yeah, we picked up the pace as best we could. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're successful.
And yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
I think we are. Mm-hmm. We still got money in the bank. May not be a whole lot this year, but but we got money in the bank, and we do what we can to keep things, you know, rolling.
Yeah.
Signing up for, you know, to become a not-for-profit 501c3 mm-hmm. is a pain in the butt, and I know our treasurer wants to just sometimes, you know, strangle somebody, but he takes care of it, and it's amazing. I love this group for what they do, and I'm hoping that we can get more kids to stick around. It's funny that they do the shows and they kind of grow up with us, and then they go off and they do, you know, we got kids now that are doing Muni, and we got kids that are off in Broadway.
That's successful.
However, there's a few of them. Why don't you guys stick around and, like, help us out, is what I'm trying to get them to do.
Roll them back into the fold.
That's mm-hmm. the part we're still not quite, we're so glad that they're successful, mm-hmm. but come back and help us.
Give us a hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Come back and direct or, you know, produce a show or whatever.
Set or paint something.
Yes. So that's the one thing. So, but yeah, it's a very successful group. Very successful.
And that's all the questions I had. Anything else you want to say?
No, this is great. I enjoyed talking about it.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.